Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in this next half-hour segment, we're going to continue with a line of analysis that I've presented intermittently over the last several years, namely indications of growing intelligence conflict between the United States and Germany, and beyond that, growing intelligence conflict between the United States and the European Union, dominated by Germany. I'm going to allude to an article by reading a brief account of it, or allude to a story, I should say, by reading a brief account of it that I had spoken about actually a couple of years ago. Reading now from the San Francisco Examiner of Tuesday, October 31st of 1995, we find the following in the World Dateline section. Accused spy claims he was CIA agent. This is Dateline Stuttgart, Germany. A U.S. nuclear scientist who asserts he was a CIA agent has gone on trial for allegedly spying on West Germany for its former Cold War foe, East Germany. Jeffrey Shevitz, S-C-H-E-V-I-T-Z, 54, passed secrets to former East Germany's Ministry for State Security, or Stasi, between mid-1977 and January 1990, prosecutors told the court Monday. His wife, B, was charged as an accomplice. The prosecution rejected as unconvincing his defense that he was a double agent for the CIA, whose mission had been to gather more information about East German intelligence methods. Shevitz and his wife said their aim had been to defuse any potential conflicts between capitalist West Germany and communist East Germany. He said he had deliberately passed on some false information to mislead East Berlin. Shevitz is a former leader in anti-Vietnam War demonstrations at UC Berkeley, who emigrated to Germany in 1976. And again, he has claimed in numerous stories that he was actually working for the CIA in a double agent capacity. There have been a number of growing conflicts between U.S. And German intelligence. And what I'm going to do now is to review a section of a story of a program that I did in August of 1998, updating various stories. And this, again, constitutes an update of some of the growing conflicts between U.S. and German intelligence. This, again, from a pair of half-hour segments updating various stories, this recorded in August of 1998. Some months back, I covered a story in which there was friction between the Central Intelligence Agency and German intelligence over an alleged CIA spy who was then expelled for allegedly spying against the Federal Republic of Germany. This is an indication of the growing hostilities between Germany and the United States. I'll recall that the funding for the World Trade Center bombing came from Germany, something discussed in RFA 38. There's a major German connection to the Oklahoma City bombing in the person of Andreas Strassmeyer and possibly other German fascists. Strassmeyer, the son of Helmut Kohl's chief of staff, Günter Strassmeyer, the chief architect of German reunification. That discussed in numerous programs, including the four interviews that I did with Martin A. Lee, the author of the Beast Reawakens. There are also numerous updates on the Oklahoma City bombing talking about the Andreas Strassmeyer connection. Another article appeared concerning the growing hostility between the United States and Germany, in particular as regards the intelligence field and industrial espionage. This one concerning a tiff not between the CIA and German intelligence, but between the FBI and German intelligence. Research credit on the following goes to Dave White. This comes from the Europeans issue of February 23rd through March 1st of 1998. This is an article entitled Spy Wars. It reads, Cold War spies may be going out of business, but industrial espionage is on the increase. A war of words over whose spies on whose company has broken out between the American FBI and the German Chancellor's Department. A report in the U.S. Journal Public Administration, which accused Germany of being active and successful in industrial espionage, has reignited a row that broke out last year when an American diplomat was expelled from Germany, accused of spying. Bernd Schmidbauer, minister in the Chancellor's Department, said he was astounded by the reports. But Germany's Federal Intelligence Services, for which his office is responsible, has 6,000 staff located around the world, costing $385 million annually. Schmidbauer retaliated in veiled language, suggesting that it was not only East European spies who were tapping into German companies' databases, he meant the Americans. Well, industrial espionage is being carried out around the world, and in the age of the weapons of mass destruction, broad frontal warfare is obsolete, and corporate warfare and economic warfare is front and center, as evidenced in, among other programs, my discussions about the remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Organization. In fact, the Germans commit a great deal of industrial espionage, according to Professor Wilhelm Stauffer, a consultant whose work I accessed some years back. One of the major areas of German espionage around the world is the Goethe Institute. I cannot confirm that myself, but Professor Stauffer is something of an expert in the field, and it is his allegation that the Goethe Institute is a major front for German spying around the world, and the major German corporations such as Siemens right here in the Silicon Valley are major epicenters of industrial espionage. This article, the second article about friction between an American intelligence or law enforcement agency and the Germans, is very significant. We now have the Germans conflicting with CIA and FBI, and it is an indication that the battle lines of World War II are being redrawn. As I've said in the past, the main area of conflict now is the conflict between Germany and the United States on the world stage, and to a lesser extent between Germany and Britain, sort of a conflict between, I guess one could say, Germania versus Anglo-Saxonia. A blockbuster article, an article that is incalculably important and that once again deals with an intelligence conflict between the United States and Germany, was researched for us by a listener who got this from the Electronic Telegraph. Their webpage is www.electronictelegraph.co.uk. Once again, www.electronictelegraph.co.uk. And this concerns a major conflict between the EU, which is dominated by Britain, and Germany. And this concerns the National Security Agency listening post in Menwith Hill in Yorkshire. This article is by Simon Davies. It's headlined, EU Simmers Over Menwith Listening Post. It's subheaded, Britain faces a major battle in Brussels over the, quote, security, unquote, deal that gives U.S. spies access to sensitive commercial information. And again, the article is by Simon Davies. And this, by the way, is from the Electronic Telegraph of July 16th. Of 1998. And again, their webpage, www.electronictelegraph.co.uk. The article reads in part, the European Commission is discreetly gearing up for one of the most controversial legal battles in its history. At the heart of this impending battle is the right of one country to spy on another. Specifically, whether Britain has the right to allow the Americans on its soil to eavesdrop on Europe's telecommunications. A European Parliament study, first reported in Connected last December, confirmed the existence in Britain of a network of spy bases operated by the U.S. National Security Agency, the world's biggest signals intelligence organization. The report, assessing the technologies of political control, states, quote, within Europe, all email, telephone, and fax communications are routinely intercepted by the United States National Security Agency via the crucial hub at Menwith Hill, unquote. The activities at Menwith Hill in North Yorkshire had been known for decades, but were never formally acknowledged. Successive attempts by British MPs to raise the matter in Parliament brought forth only bland answers from ministers. The publication of the report confirmed for the first time that the NSA had established a surveillance capacity over the entire European communications network. It also described a grid of supercomputers known as Echelon, capable of scanning vast areas of the communications spectrum to detect keywords. Of particular interest to security analysts was the report's assertion that the NSA was beefing up its commercial espionage activities. In other words, one of Menwith Hill's key roles in the interception of sensitive traffic relating to takeovers and investments. Skipping down. Strictly speaking, the Commission does not have a mandate to regulate or intervene in national security matters. However, it does have a responsibility to ensure that security is harmonized throughout the EU, and this is where the formal protests are likely to emerge. Title 5 of the Maastricht Treaty specifies, quote, member states shall inform and consult one another within the Council on any matter of foreign and security policy of general interest in order to ensure that their combined influence is exerted as effectively as possible, unquote. Whether the commercial espionage activities at Menwith Hill can be defined as, quote, security of general interest, unquote, will depend on a definition yet to emerge from the Commission. For Britain, this will be vitally important. If the NSA's activities are deemed to be of a general security nature, then Britain has fallen foul of its obligations under the treaty. But if these activities are not deemed to be security issues, then the special relationship between the UK and the US may have to be reviewed, since Britain might not be able to continue to offer the NSA the cloak of secrecy it has hitherto enjoyed. Either way, any referral on the matter by one country will put both Britain and America in a delicate diplomatic position. Indeed it does, and I think that this attempt by the EU translate Germany, reading between the lines, to close down Menwith Hill is tantamount to an act of war. And we're going to proceed with this, a section of this particular broadcast, updating various stories. This is from August of 1998. More about the Menwith Hill listening station coming right up. Quote. Well, again, the Menwith Hill listening post has been known for quite some time. It's something of an open secret. And I would state that, again, this is a terribly important article indicating the redrawing of the lines of power struggle in on the global stage. It's no longer between the U.S. and the Soviets. It's now between the U.S. and the Germans. This is a terribly significant article. I would also point out that the dividing line between economic and strategic military intelligence is fine to the point of being virtually non-existent, particularly in the nuclear age. It is absolutely essential to monitor the international flow of key goods like ores, key alloys, petroleum, things like rolling stock, strategic materials such as uranium. It's all essential for adequate intelligence gathering. I would also add that it is in America's national interest to maintain this Menwith Hill listening post. And again, Menwith Hill has been known for quite some time, and it does engage in espionage on economic matters, as Germany does on a routine basis. The definitive book about the National Security Agency is The Puzzle Palace. That was authored by James Bamford, B-A-M-F-O-R-D. It was published in hardcover by Houghton Mifflin in 1982, and there was a softcover edition published by Penguin Books in 1983. And we're going to turn now to James Bamford's The Puzzle Palace, and reading from the softcover Penguin edition from 1983 about the establishment of Menwith Hill. Menwith Hill grew out of an Army security agency station. Of this growth, we read, "Finally, on September 15th, 1960, after 5 years and $6.8 million worth of cement and antennas, the 13th U.S. Army Security Agency field station formally opened. Named Menwith Hill Station, the 400-man base, virtually free from urban electromagnetic interference, was ideally suited for eavesdropping." Skipping down. "Soon after the changeover," that is the changeover from Army Security Agency to National Security Agency, "soon after the changeover, the triple-fence listening post started taking on an appearance strikingly similar to Pine Gap's." Pine Gap is a key U.S. intelligence, electronic intelligence gathering station in Australia. Continuing. "Giant dish-shaped antennas began going up, some accompanied by enormous eggshell-like ray domes set on concrete nests. By 1980, the number of antennas had grown to 8. Beyond the fences were placed signs, in case there was any doubt, warning, Ministry of Defense, Prohibited Place, Official Secrets Act, 1911 to 1939. According to Frank Raven, chief of G Group until 1975, the major reason for the NSA's taking charge was the failure of the Army to allocate sufficient intercept spaces and resources for the much-needed strategic intelligence such as diplomatic and economic targets. Quote, the Army fought like hell to avoid intercepting it, unquote, said Raven. Until NSA moved in, the Army had been using the station primarily for tactical coverage. Also, NSA was upset because no resources had been devoted to intercepting the newer forms of communication like satellite microwave. Principal targets of Menwith Hill, according to Raven, are Western Europe, Eastern Europe, and the Soviet Union east of the Urals." Skipping down again. "Some of Menwith Hill's strategic intercept capabilities were probably inherited from a U.S. Air Force Security Service listening post at Kirknewton near Edinburgh, which just happened to cease operations the very day before the NSA began operating the Yorkshire station. Some reports indicate that many of the operations formerly performed by Kirknewton were simply transferred down the road to the new NSA base. One former employee of the Kirknewton listening post explained the routine," skipping down, quote, "I had to keep a special watch for commercial traffic, details of commodities, what big companies were selling like iron and steel and gas. Changes were frequent. One week, I was asked to scan all traffic between Berlin and London, and another week between Rome and Belgrade. Some weeks, the list of words to watch for contained dozens of names of big companies. Some weeks, I just had to look for commodities. All traffic was sent back to Fort Meade in Washington. So again, Menwith Hill has been known for quite some time. Why all the static is being directed at it, pun intended, by the way, by the EU, translate Germany between the lines, I suspect has to do with the redrawing of the lines of power struggle along the lines that I indicated earlier. And that, again, a section of a pair of half-hour segments updating various stories recorded in August of 1998. A follow-up story concerning EU friction, EU static, if you will, towards the Menwith Hill listening station. Again, not something we're hearing very much about, but an article that is of paramount importance and that, frankly, should be very alarming to any sincerely patriotic American. And by patriotic, I do not mean right-wing. But the maintenance of the Menwith Hill listening station is absolutely essential to American national interests. And this attempt by EU to put heat on it should be, and between the lines, again, we can say Germany, is to be viewed with great alarm by sincerely patriotic Americans. A follow-up story on this, and research credit on this goes to a listener. This also is from the Electronic Telegraph, and this particular story is entitled Spies Like Us, and this is from the Electronic Telegraph, again, the web version of the Daily Telegraph. This can be found at www.telegraph.co.uk. That's www.telegraph.co.uk. And this is an article by Simon Davies entitled Spies Like Us. A European Commission report warns that the United States has developed an extensive network spying on European citizens, and we should all be worried. The article reads, a global electronic spy network that can eavesdrop on every telephone, email, and telex communication around the world will be officially acknowledged for the first time in a European Commission report to be delivered this week. The report, assessing the technologies of political control, was commissioned last year by the Civil Liberties Committee of the European Parliament. It contains details of a network of American-controlled intelligence stations on British soil and around the world that, quote, routinely and indiscriminately, unquote, monitor countless phone, fax, and email messages. It states, quote, within Europe, all email, telephone, and fax communications are routinely intercepted by the United States National Security Agency, transferring all target information from the European mainland via the strategic hub of London, then by satellite to Fort Meade in Maryland, via the crucial hub at Menwith Hill in the North York Moors in the UK, unquote. The report confirms for the first time the existence of the secretive echelon system. Until now, evidence of such astounding technology had been patchy and anecdotal. But the report, to be discussed on Thursday by the Committee of the Office of Science and Technology Assessment in Luxembourg, confirms that the citizens of Britain and other European states are subject to an intensity of surveillance far in excess of that imagined by most parliaments. Its findings are certain to excite the concern of MPs. Quote, the echelon system forms part of the UK-USA system, but unlike many of the electronic spy systems developed during the Cold War, Echelon is designed primarily for non-military targets, governments, organizations, and businesses in virtually every country. Quote, the Echelon system works by indiscriminately intercepting very large quantities of communications and then siphoning out what is valuable using artificial intelligence aids like MEMEX, M-E-M-E-X, all capital, to find words, unquote. According to the report, Echelon uses a number of national dictionaries containing keywords of interest to each country. For more than a decade, former agents of U.S., British, Canadian, and New Zealand national security agencies have claimed that the monitoring of electronic communications has become endemic throughout the world. Rumors have circulated that new technologies have been developed which have the capability to search most of the world's telex, fax, and email networks for, quote, keywords, unquote. Phone calls, they claim, can be automatically analyzed for keywords. Former signals intelligence operatives have claimed that spy bases controlled by America have the ability to search nearly all data communications for keywords. They claim that Echelon automatically analyzes most email messaging for precursor, unquote, data, which assists intelligence agencies to determine targets. According to former Canadian security establishment agent Mike Frost, a voice recognition system called Oratory has been used for some years to intercept diplomatic calls. Skipping down, the report recommends a variety of measures for dealing with the increasing power of the technologies of surveillance being used at Menwith Hill and other centers. It bluntly advises, quote, The European Parliament should reject proposals from the United States for making private messages via the Global Communications Network, Internet, accessible to U.S. intelligence agencies, unquote. The report also urges a fundamental review of the involvement of the American NSA, or National Security Agency, in Europe, suggesting that their activities either be scaled down or become more open and accountable. Well, I've, over the years, have done my utmost to expose, in the hopes of correcting, abuses of U.S. intelligence, and certainly any civil liberties violations are to be corrected wherever they're found. Nonetheless, monitoring communications, including commercial activity and diplomatic activity, is simply an essential element of contemporary intelligence, and the Germans do it routinely in this country. All German corporate centers, and according to Professor Stauffer, allegedly the Goethe Institutes are among the centers of German spying in the United States and elsewhere. Other countries do it on us, and we do it on other countries. And this attempt by the EU, and again, one can read between the lines, Germany, to force, put heat on Menwith Hill, so to speak, are to be viewed with great alarm and are tantamount to an act of war. Again, wherever possible, I've done what I have been able to do to expose and in the hopes of reforming abuses by U.S. intelligence, my work on the Tyree suit in the fall of 1998 being exemplary of that. Nonetheless, I think that it is important for the U.S. to maintain the Menwith Hill listening station. And I view this as such an important issue that I would encourage listeners to do what they can to support NSA. I don't know, it sounds like sort of a strange thing to say, but I think listeners should think seriously about contacting their congressional and senatorial representatives and encouraging them to contact the Senate and House Intelligence Committees in order to address this attack by EU/Germany on Menwith Hill. Beyond that, I don't know what people could do, but I might think if this attempt to neutralize Menwith Hill continues, I think perhaps even a boycott of German goods in the United States is something listeners should consider implementing. Again, spying is something all countries do on one another, but it is essential for American interests to maintain Menwith Hill. Another article of tremendous significance, and again indicative of growing intelligence friction between the United States and Germany, was researched for us by Dave White. By the way, that last story was from, once again, the Electronic Telegraph of December 16th of 1997. It's entitled Spies Like Us. This is an article from the Sunday Telegraph of July 26th of 1998, researched for us by Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator. It's by Yojana Sharma, S-H-A-R-M-A, in Berlin, headlined, Germany Liquidates Its Blundering Spy Service. And this refers to the liquidation of the counterintelligence wing of the BND, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, the German Intelligence Service, and the successor organization to the Reinhard Gehlen Nazi spy outfit that emerged from World War II. This article reads in part, again, from the Sunday Telegraph of 7-26-98. Germany's beleaguered espionage service is to undergo a dramatic shakeup following a series of gaffes and scandals that have harmed relations with its intelligence partners in London and Washington. Volker Furch, F-O-E-R-T-S-C-H, longtime head of counterintelligence within the Bundesnachrichtendienst, or BND, spy service, is to be transferred to another job, and his entire 500-strong department dissolved, Chancellor Kohl's office announced last week. The unprecedented decision by the Chancellery just 2 months ahead of the general election comes amid growing speculation that documents taken by investigators from Mr. Furch's safe contain explosive political information. Skipping down, the move is far more than the expected damage limitation exercise and seems designed to reassure Germany's allies, particularly in Washington, that its intelligence service can be trusted. The Americans are known to be chary about sharing information with an agency which is believed to be infiltrated with Eastern European and Russian agents despite the Cold War's end. I would note that I would take that last element with a grain of salt. I no doubt that there may be concern on the part of U.S. intelligence in that regard, but the pressure that the EU and, between the lines, Germany is putting on Menwith Hill and other of the U.S. and German intelligence conflicts that I've touched on, I suspect have more to do with that. Again, from the Sunday Telegraph of 7-26-98, Volker Furch, the head of BND counterintelligence, being reassigned and his department being reshuffled because of concerns about the BND's relations with Washington and London. I wonder if the following two stories are also symptomatic of that reshuffling. Germany has had a long historical relationship with some extreme nationalist elements in the Middle East, including terrorist elements in recent decades. Talked about that in RFA program number 22, as well as the miscellaneous archive shows about the fascist third position. Good discussion of that, by the way, in the Martin Lee book, The Beast Reawakens. There has also been recalcitrance on the part of Germany to extradite some of those terrorists. In particular, their unwillingness to hold some terrorists implicated in some aspects of the bombing of Pan Am 103 has greatly irked both Britain and, to a lesser extent, the United States. In the context of the shakeup of German counterintelligence and in the context of the intelligence friction between the U.S. and Germany, and also perhaps between Great Britain and Germany, the following article from the Financial Times of London of Friday, September 25th of 1998 is to be taken into account. This is an article entitled, Wanted German Arrested. A fugitive German engineer suspected of providing uranium enrichment plans to Iraq was arrested at Frankfurt Airport yesterday, police said. Federal criminal police in Wiesbaden confirmed a report by the Bild newspaper that Karl-Heinz Schaub, S-C-H-A-A-B, who had been sought since he fled the country in January of 1996, was arrested after arriving on a Lufthansa flight from São Paulo, Brazil. Authorities accused the 63-year-old engineer of providing Iraq with construction plans for a uranium enrichment plant for 2 million Deutschmarks. The plans were found by UN inspectors in Iraq. And in addition to that story, another alleged Middle Eastern terrorist, not actually an engineer who had helped develop Iraqi nuclear capability, this from the LA Times of Sunday, September 25th of 1998, 5 days before that last article appeared in the Financial Times of London. This is Dateline AP story, Dateline Munich, Germany headline, Germans hold terror suspect. Bavarian police have arrested a man described as a close associate of suspected international terrorist Osama bin Laden, the state justice ministry said Saturday. Officials did not release the identity of the man. They said he was arrested Wednesday afternoon near Munich on a tip from Interpol officials in Washington. The ministry said it would confirm the man's identity this week and determine what he was doing in Germany. I would note that Germany was the epicenter for the funding for the World Trade Center bombing. And again, I wonder if Germany's new apparent enthusiasm for bringing to heel elements connected with Middle Eastern terrorism and or the arming of Iraq has to do with the U.S.-German intelligence friction that is the focal point of this particular half-hour segment. The address, etc., for Spitfire. Spitfire, the tape duplication service that stocks the various tapes that have done Spitfire, can be reached at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. The email address is spitfire@ix.netcom.com. Once again, Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Spitfire@ix.netcom.com. A partial list of the tapes available from Spitfire is available on the KFJC webpage. Point your web browser at www.kfjc.org. That concludes this half-hour segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.